Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
If you want grace merely so you don't feel bad about sin anymore and are not really that into Jesus, you don't want grace. Because the goal of being free of my sin is to serve Christ. Because that's where eternal life and righteousness are found.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Having been forgiven the penalty for sin by grace at the cross, we've also been freed from the authority and power of sin. What we haven't fully lost, though, is our desire to sin. And so, turning back to our study of Romans chapter 6, we're encouraged by the Apostle Paul not to give in to that which leads to death, but instead to be used by God for righteousness, leading to eternal life.
What this passage is going to tell us is this, and this is the title of the message: you are always obedient to someone. The Bible says we're always serving someone. You serve, in fact, the Bible is going to tell us, you serve who you obey. And the two options that we're going to talk about today from this passage are sin and righteousness. Sin or the Lord. Day in, day out, awake, asleep, you are always obeying either sin or the Lord. But whether or not you're obedient is not the question, because you always are. Now, some of you are already arguing with me. I can tell. You say, I'm not serving sin. I'm the one in charge of what I do. I am the one who chooses what I'm going to do. And what we're going to discover from this passage, you are a servant to that which obey, and it doesn't matter even if you think it's your idea. If you think it's your idea, you think it's your desire, you think it's your motivation that's moving you to choose this thing or that the other thing, you're always serving who you obey, either sin or righteousness. Either sin or the Lord. Let's start with the question the Bible starts with in verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. The Bible has been telling us from the book of Romans, and it's cover to cover really in the Bible, do you have the ability to earn your righteousness? And the answer is no. And the book of Romans, in particular Romans 5 and 6, are arguing, since we are dead in Christ, the law no longer applies to us. We do not achieve righteousness through obedience to the law. We achieve righteousness by being in Christ by faith. So some of you would ask, since our righteousness doesn't come through the law, but it comes through grace, that means we can do whatever we want because grace is there for us. We said it this way last week. If I sin $100 worth of sin, Christ's grace give me $1,000 worth of grace. And so we might be motivated to think, well, if there's always plenty of grace, why don't I just keep on sinning? And in fact, if you tell me not to sin, that really doesn't sound like grace to me. So we need to understand what he's saying. The question is, since we have grace, does that mean sin doesn't matter? That means I can sin without concern. I can sin without worry. And the Bible is going to tell us no. Why is that? Let's look at some facts. One fact to start it off, verse 16, a statement of fact. You can decide if you disagree or agree with the fact in verse 16. Of course, if you disagree, you have that deep, abiding American privilege of having the right of being wrong. Do you not know, if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? There's the fact. Who is your master? The one you obey. You are a slave to that which you obey. Present our bodies to sin, we are serving as slaves to sin. The other side is true. If you submit your members, your body, your heart, and mind to obedience, it leads to righteousness. You are a slave to that which you obey, either sin or the Lord. Here's why I'm harping on this. I need you to understand this. You are not in charge of your life. However, by faith, you get to participate in, by the grace of God, you get to engage in worship of by grace to either act as though sin is your master or act as though God is your master. And if you're saying, well, I'm pretty important, I don't want anybody to be my master, that's not an option. Because we were made to serve. We are always worshiping. We are always obeying. We are always serving. The question is, are we serving sin and death, or are we serving obedience and righteousness? And so what the Bible is calling us to do is recognize who we are and live in our identity in Christ, having been made righteous and having been purchased out of slavery to sin and having been now purchased by Christ to be slaves of God. How then should we live? As slaves to righteousness through obedience. So this is very important. We are not obeying to earn grace, and we are not obeying to keep grace. We are not obeying to earn righteousness or keep righteousness. We obey because He is our Lord and our King and our Master, and because our identity is righteous. So we want to live as those who have been made righteous by living righteous. Because of the power of the gospel in Christ, we are free from sin. Okay, let's look at the next part of these verses. Obedience has a goal. You're always obedient, and obedience has a goal. When I was in high school, I think I got the job when I was a sophomore in high school, I was working at a little restaurant. Maybe you've heard of it. It's McDonald's. Have you heard of this? I don't know. Not everybody's heard of it. So I worked there, and I wanted to make some money so I could spend my winters on Mount Ashland. It was not a complicated goal. I needed money to buy skis. I needed money to keep my skis tuned. I needed money to pay for lift tickets. And I wanted to see if I could use all of my skips in school to be skiing on Mount Ashland during school. In my senior year of high school, I missed school 18 times. Sick to ski on Mount Ashland. I personally feel that was a good use of that time. So I had a goal. Why was I working? Because I wanted to be on Mount Ashland if I was awake. My manager had a different goal. His goal was to have a successful restaurant so that maybe someday he could get promoted or buy his own McDonald's. The owner of the restaurant had a different goal. They wanted to make a return on their investment. They had paid for the building. They paid for the supplies to come in. They wanted to make a certain rate of return on their investment in the restaurant. McDonald's as a corporation had a different goal. They wanted their stock price to improve so the CEO could make lots of money, and they had a whole different goal. Why did we all work together? Because all of our goals had a common goal that worked together. When I met my goals, my manager met his goals, and the owner met his goals. And so all of these things had a trajectory. As soon as my goals didn't match up with the manager's goals, they would fire me. Obedience has a goal. Serving our master always has a point. And serving sin has a goal to it. And serving righteousness has a goal to it, and the Bible tells us what those goals are, and we need to decide before we serve one or the other which goal fits with what we want to do. Okay? We need to look at serving sin, and we need to look at serving righteousness and say, hey, sin, what's your goal? Got it. Righteousness, what's your goal? Got it. Which one fits for what my goals are and what your goals are? Let's check it out. Verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms. Because of your natural limitations. If you're not clear on that, Paul just insulted everybody. What he is saying is this figure of speech on slavery and mastery has limitations to it. At a certain point, the illustration will break down, but he's going to pursue it nonetheless. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So, first goal of each. When we pursue sin, it leads to more sin. When we pursue sin, the goal of sin is to give us more sin. Some of us think, well, if I do this little thing, it keeps me from doing much worse things. No. The goal of sin is to own you and to destroy you, and there's no halfway for sin. If you're sinning a little, sin wants you to sin more. This has been your experience. Well, I'll just do this little thing. And pretty soon, the next time you're going to engage in that activity, that's not enough any longer. Because sin lied to you and told you it would be satisfactory, and it's not any longer, and so now it leads to more. So lawlessness and pursuing the appetites of our flesh only leads to the pursuit of our appetites even more so. It never gets to a point where we say, you know what, I think I'm good. I'm satisfied. It will always be leaving us thirsty, just like drinking seawater will not make you less thirsty. It makes you more thirsty. Where does serving righteousness lead? It says here at the end of verse 19, present your members as slaves to righteousness, which leads to sanctification. So he's saying, don't choose to present my body to sin. Instead, choose to present my body to Christ through obedience to righteousness, and this leads to sanctification. What is sanctification? It's a fancy word for becoming more holy or becoming more like Jesus over the course of this life. Having been made righteous as Christ, what we want to see in our life is his righteousness worked out in our life more and more each day over the course of our life. The goal of seeking God through obedience and sanctification is this time next year, I look over the course of my life and I can thank the Lord that there are some sins in my life I can see starting to work their way out. They can look over the course of your life and 10 years ago, maybe you can think of things you were doing as a Christian, which today you are grateful God has delivered you from. And that's what we see, sanctification, the work of righteousness being worked out in our day in and day out life. So the goal of sin, to make you sin more. The goal of righteousness is to work out the person of Jesus Christ in your heart and life day in and day out. Okay? Okay, let's look at verses 20 and 21. When you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is what? What's it say? It's death. We're now going to compare our two masters and see which one you like better. Sin inflames your appetite for sin, makes you desire to have more sin, and it leads one direction. Sin has one simple goal. It will kill you. It is poison in any quantity. You're arguing with me. I can tell. What happened to Adam and Eve? What did the Lord say to you, Eve, when if you were to, I don't know, eat this tasty fruit? Well, she said, our eyes would be open, we'd know good and evil, and I don't know, we would die. And what was his response? You will not surely die. And so that's what he's done. I've sinned plenty of times. I've never died. My death rate on planet Earth so far is 0%. And I have sinned plenty. How about you? And so some of you are thinking, sin doesn't kill me. That's what sin does. So this is what our deceptive minds even do to ourselves, or the enemy is doing to us. Sin doesn't really cause you a problem. Nobody's getting hurt. Nobody even knows. Sin has one goal, make you sin more. Sin has one goal, to destroy you, to kill you. That's what this master wants. It wants to own you, to kill you. That's the goal of sin. Do you want to serve this master? This isn't a trick question. No, nobody wants to serve this master. Nobody does. Okay, let's look at the other master. Verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin, yay, now we have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. More hushed, yay. Yay. I want to be master. See, you're still doing it. I want to be the master. You don't get to be. It's either sin or God. Since you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Sin kills you. Serving the Lord, by his grace, he makes us righteous so we can live righteous. Over the course of our life, he makes us more and more like Jesus. And in the end, we rock across the threshold of eternity into eternal life. We live in righteousness today, which means our eternal life doesn't start then, it starts now. And it means righteousness is worked out as. Of these two masters, which one sounds better? Of course, serving the Lord sounds better, and that's what he's trying to do. We get righteousness from Christ by grace, and he works out that righteousness in our life, and as a result, we have Christ, and we have eternal life. Whereas sin says, I'm going to kill you. We are going to obey Christ, or we are going to obey sin, and one of them is giving us life, and the other one is leading us toward death. One other thing on verse 22, and then we'll look at the last verse. Now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. As a Christian, don't answer out loud unless you're really bold. Do you feel free from sin? You know, like you, if you're going to describe, so you say, tell me something about your relationship with the Lord. Would you say, you know, one of the things that's great about following the Lord is I'm free. I'm free from sin. Is that how you would describe your reality? Yeah, we might hedge our bets a little bit there. Well, so what is he doing? He's telling something that's true of us. One of the ways that I believe the enemy seeks to deceive us is to convince us we just can't say no to sin any longer. You know, you can't do that. You're not strong enough. You don't have enough willpower. You'll never get over it, whatever it might be. The Bible is crystal clear about your identity in Christ. What is your relationship to sin? You're free. You do not have to sin any longer. Now, I'm not saying you won't struggle with sin. If you're alive, you're struggling with sin. Just deal with reality. But we need to not give sin power it does not have. It does not own us. It is not our master. We can say no. We are free from sin. It no longer has any hold over us. We can live in the righteousness Christ has given us. All right, let's look at verse 23. It's an Awana memory verse. How many people have memorized Romans 6:23, whether in Awana or not? Here it is. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we need to, first of all, since this is a memory verse that's been used in a very specific ways over the years, I need you to open up this verse to its fuller meaning, meaning what normally what we do with this verse is we go to up to our buddy, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. And your buddy says, yeah, you got me. Well, guess what? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Since you're a sinner, you're dying, bro. And he goes, you lost me. Feel like a sinner, don't feel like I'm dying. So we've normally primarily used this verse as a means toward explaining sin kills you. It does say that. That's only the first part of the verse. What's the second part of the verse say? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a contrast verse. It wants to show us the master of sin. Sin pays you what you deserve. It's always accurate. Its payroll team and bookkeeping team are always accurate. When you sin, you die. God, on the other hand, does not pay you what you deserve. Sin, on the one hand, is paying a wage. What does it say about God? Free gift. So it's two different kinds of masters. Sin, on the one hand, gives mankind what he deserves, death. God, on the other hand, does not give us what we deserve. He gives us a free gift, which is eternal life. So which one of these masters is the better master? It is God. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us more than we deserve. He gives us a free gift, and he gives us eternal life. What's the word right after life? What is it in your translation? Does yours say in, by, through? Doesn't matter. It's different translations than one word. Here's the thing you need to pay attention to. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is the experience of relationship with God in Christ Jesus. So if you only want eternal life without Christ Jesus, you don't want eternal life, because that's the only kind of eternal life there is. Eternal life that God is giving us is in Christ Jesus. It's a kind of life. It's a life of being made righteous over time and a life of fully experiencing Christ's righteousness even now. Maybe I would say it this way. If you want grace merely so you don't feel bad about sin anymore and are not really that into Jesus, you don't want grace. Because the only kind of grace there is the kind of grace that puts us in Christ. The goal of being delivered from my sin is not to finally merely be free and autonomous. The goal of being free of my sin is to serve Christ, because that's where eternal life and righteousness are found. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8-9 real quick. Have you heard of that verse, Ephesians 2:8-9? Ephesians 2:8-9. Let me read Ephesians 2:8-9. You've got to memorize. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Isn't that great? We get saved without working. Well, maybe you guys are hard workers. For me, this is good news. I am really bad at being a good Christian. It is really good to find out that I am saved by grace through faith. It's all Jesus, all day, all the time. That's amazing. The question is, why does he do it? And the answer to that is verse 10. Look at verse 10. This part isn't in the memory verse oftentimes. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to be able to do what we want and not feel bad about it. That's not what it says. Why are we saved? What is the purpose of our salvation? We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He wants to deliver us from sin so we no longer do works that lead to death. He wants to deliver us from sin so we can do good works that lead to the fruit of righteousness. That is the goal. To be in Christ by grace is to want to serve Christ because he is gracious to allow us to do it. You are always obedient. Under grace, obedience matters. And obedience has a goal. Okay, three quick things. We're going to close with these three things. I do what I want is another way of saying I'm a servant to my desires. Many of us think when I get to do what I want, it means I'm the master. It doesn't. I do what I want is another way of saying I'm a servant to my desires. Doing what you want, being led by your appetites, does not put you in charge of your life. It makes you a slave to your appetites, to your desires, and it doesn't lead anywhere good. There might be a place through prayer and through seeking God through his word and a prayerful humility to ask God's spirit to convict us where we will finally be more willing to question our own appetites and motives. Just because we want something doesn't mean it ought to be. But if we're the master of our life, if I want something, it must be because I am the master. And the Bible teaches us humility by the gospel and the power of the Spirit to look at our appetites and say, I don't know that my appetite ought to be in charge here. And by God's grace and his Spirit, being able to say to our own appetites, our own fleshly desires, I don't think so. That's a big no for you. We're not going down that road. And the Holy Spirit is that which gives us the ability to say no, even to our own appetites. The Bible has a real boring word for it. You're going to hate it, but here's the word. You know what the word is? Self-control. The ability to say no to me and instead serve my Lord. But we're always obedient. We can serve the Lord or our appetites. Okay, next thing, moving on. If you seek grace merely as a means to feel okay about doing wrong, you've actually missed the point of grace. Grace does, in fact, give us peace to know that our sins are atoned for. Grace does, in fact, give us peace to know that we have a right relationship with God. But grace is our means to serve our master in righteousness. It does, in fact, by God's grace, it is a joy to know that no matter what I've done or what I will do, I don't have to carry the shame and guilt for it. But that's one small slice of the grace pie. The next big piece that grace does for us, it moves us into a servant relationship to God where we serve him in righteousness. And I might suggest if grace to us is only a means to not feel bad about doing something wrong, we've missed what grace is all about. Grace is so much bigger. God wants to give us the fruit of Jesus being worked out in our life.
Pastor Greg Spires has been drawing to a close a message of the role of grace in our lives, enabling us to serve in righteousness, the giver of grace. And Pastor Greg has some final words to add in just a moment here on Lasting Hope. By the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And not only does he give a message from God's Word each week, but he also writes a Lasting Hope newsletter sharing stories of hope and offering biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. And if you're in the Southern Oregon area and don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. Just go to lastinghope.org for information and driving directions. Again, that's lastinghope.org. Well, once again, here's Pastor Greg to close our time together.
Okay, last thing, and then we'll be done. All masters have an agenda, and sin wants to kill you. I know you won't believe me because there's some things that we're doing and we don't mind so much and we don't think they're a big deal. But I don't know another way to put it because that's what the Bible says. Sin is deadly. It has consequences in our life. We may not see it today. We may not see it till next year. We may not see it for another decade. But submitting the members of our bodies, submitting our hearts and our souls and our minds to sin has an agenda, and the agenda is to destroy us. God, on the other hand, wants to give you life that lasts forever, and he wants believers to live their life in fullness in the righteousness of Christ today. One master wants to kill you. One master wants to give you eternal life in fullness. Who is the cruel master? It's not God. And we're convinced it's God because he won't give us what we want. But that's a lie. God is the master giving us eternal life and the fruit of righteousness. You're always obedient. Obedience has a goal. And under our grace, obedience matters.
Pastor Greg Spires closing out today's message from Romans titled, You Are Always Obedient, here on Lasting Hope. And that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look in the book of Romans. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.